Cheerbomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol.
I'm super excited for this episode.
Yes.
We have Melissa Cummings on.
Yes.
And in case you don't know who Melissa Cummings is.
The Melissa Cummings. Get it right.
She is Ryan Cummings' mom.
The Ryan Cummings.
And I think everyone's going to really enjoy that. It was an interesting perspective.
I loved getting her side.
So how are you doing, Marcus?
Good. Just came back from competition. Oh my gosh. I didn't tell you this earlier. I got clipped.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
I got clipped. All you cheerleaders, have you seen... it's been a while since you've been to a cheerleading competition. A lot of cheerleaders have these like clothespins.
Oh, the clips. Yeah. Okay. Whew. I was thinking something else.
No. I got somebody clipped me. I was taking a picture with my team on Saturday, and one of the girls was like, "Coach Marcus, you got clipped." And I was like, what are you talking about? Get it off of me. And then it was like a clothespin. And it said, good luck. And it was from Rockstar.
Aww.
So I'm not sure who it was because I had no idea. But thank you so much. I hope you're listening. That is so cool. That's the coolest thing that probably ever happened.
Really? Yeah. Ever?
Well, this week. No, this weekend.
I was going to say... It was cool.
It was super awesome.
That's funny. That's like a last two seasons thing, right? The clips?
Yeah, like it's really gotten big like this season, but it's been happening. Yeah. It's been happening.
I remember my kid created some last season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if she ever clipped them. I remember the paint because it's still on my deck. But
I know some of or at least like one of my girls, like mate, she had like a huge like sandwich bag like full of clips that she was like ready to clip. It was so cool. That's what this sport is about.
Yes. What brings us together, not separates us.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to use this intro to talk about crazy cheer moms.
Here we go.
And I want to say before I even start that Melissa Cummings is the personification of not a crazy cheer mom. I think
the exact opposite.
But we did a podcast last season on crazy cheer moms. It was one of our heavy downloaded ones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's honest to say that there's plenty of them, of crazy cheer moms in cheerleading. And then we still kind of get a sense of it. You know, we'll have a guest on. It's happened, I feel, a couple times, and a parent or I think it's mostly parents will send us, as Kennedy says, Kennedy, that huge adults don't write in text speak. So when we get like letters from parents, they tend to be like novels, you know, they're like very long and very detailed and there's a lot of passion behind them. But the point is, people write into us to tell us a different perspective of someone that was on our show. And I don't discredit their version of events.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't happen or that their perspective isn't told. Because what I've learned is people have multiple perspectives to one situation.
Yes.
But we're not, you know, we say this all the time, we're not journalists. Mm-hmm. We are literally a mom and a coach on a podcast. But crazy moms is a theme that we kind of have in our life. And I wanted to tell my crazy mom story because I was going to write about it, but then I thought it just wasn't coming to me. So I thought I'd tell it. And I thought it's a good story to share my views on crazy cheer moms. Because I get accused a lot of, you know, being Pollyanna or positive, too positive.
I got called Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm too nice.
So here's the thing. Here's my theory on crazy cheer moms. we're all crazy. Mm-hmm. We're all crazy. Every single one I know, we all are crazy because we all have crazy in us. And what I mean by crazy is we can get triggered. Unless you're an enlightened master, meaning that you are Jesus Christ and or Buddha or, you know, the Tao Te Ching or I don't know. We all have crazy in us. That's what our life goal is to minimize that crazy and heal it and process it. And so we don't get triggered to be crazy. So when I am faced with craziness, my own or other people's, I have learned to love people through it. And everyone is crazy. People get so upset with me when I say this, but however crazy a mom is, however crazy a parent is in a situation, I fundamentally believe this. They're doing the best they can. Even as screwed up as that is, you're watching them do some crazy crap to that kid, you know, like, you know, trying to create a brand or moving them to multiple gyms or creating a brand.
I think that one may be my favorite.
Create fake Instagram accounts for your kid or cause drama at the gym or send a text saying you're going to get this kid kicked off of that team. You know, all that crazy. We have several examples of craziness. That person, that mother at that moment is doing the best that they can emotionally. That's what I believe. I'm not saying that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying they're doing the best they can with the tools that they have been given. I don't know what tools they have. I don't know what life experiences they have. I don't know what brought them to the moment to behave the way that they have behaved. I don't know what their triggers are. I don't know what happened to them. But I have learned that you have to just love people through their shit, basically.
Yes.
So that's kind of like my views on crazy moms. I'm not hateful towards them. I'm more like, yeah, your crazies, your freak flag is blowing in the wind. And it's there for everyone to see. but I say this, I think I'm saying this with true honesty. My first experience with a crazy cheer mom came my very first year in cheer. And I almost believe that it happened so that today I could have this conversation with you about crazy cheer moms. So I have to sidetrack before I tell the story to explain that the way I got to this point in my life to say you have to love them through it and everyone's crazy and don't judge is because, you know, when I got divorced, I kind of had a little bit of a breakdown. And it wasn't a breakdown. It was more like a spiritual awakening. I was an atheist at the time, a hardcore atheist, had been since the age of 15. Like, this is the 80s, you know? And I go into my Spanish immigrant family and church that was 4 hours on Sundays and, like, 3 days out of the week Bible study and announce that I'm an atheist. So even and 20 years later, having children, I remember being in this town, which is a very religious town. I'm in the South. And being like, nope, I'm an atheist. My kids are atheists. Nope. So when I had this divorce and my life kind of imploded on me, I didn't have a spiritual connection. And that's what I mean by a breakdown. Like, I was like, oh, because I needed it. So prior to my daughter joining cheer, I had studied Eastern religions and Eastern philosophies because that's how I do things. I deep dive into something.
Yeah.
You know, I think you know that about me now. And I deep dove into Eastern philosophies for 2 years. I flew to India. I studied at an ashram. I studied meditation. I didn't speak for like 2 weeks. I mean, I did my work.
Wow.
I came back and I was like, okay, Jesus, you're up. No, what I mean by that was I circled back to my origins and went simultaneously at the same time my daughter starts cheer. In my personal life, I'm going to try to study the life of Jesus. And I did it using It's called A Course in Miracles. And I was doing that at the same time. So I meet this crazy mom. And her name, we're going to call her Daisy for this exercise. It's been 5 years, so I feel now I can tell the story.
Yes.
So this is my crazy mom story. I meet the mom the first day, and we're having like a team bonding experience, lunch. And she proceeds to tell her story.
And
the whole story is, it's, I'm a writer, and I could not create the story this woman was sharing. Like, she had like 8 kids, one of them died, was a twin, the heart went to the other twin, she had brain cancer, her kid was on a reality TV show. I mean, it was, I can't even.
Dance with Prince.
I didn't even hear that one.
No, okay.
Just incredible stories were coming out of this woman's mouth. And I remember going to the bathroom, and I remember, you know, Brooke.
Yeah.
I didn't know her at the time. And I remember washing my hands. I'm like, shit, that's shit you can't make up. Like, oh my, some crazy shit right there. Remember going into the stall, and it's actually one of the first times I remember praying as an adult again. And I was like, all right, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Because my instinct would be to stay away. Just be like, we're done, you know. But I didn't. I did the opposite. I'm like, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus would love her through this.
Mm-hmm.
So for that first year that my daughter was in cheerleading, I was at this crazy cheerleader mom's side, all the competitions. I let her daughter stay at my house. Her daughter was supposed to come for a sleepover, ended up staying for 5 days because the mom supposedly had, this is when I realized she was really crazy. Before this moment, I suspected, but I had no proof. I got proof when her daughter stayed with me. She comes in, drops off the daughter. The daughter's sitting on my couch. Daughter's like 5 years old, I should add, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's telling me she's going into surgery, brain surgery, the next day at Chapel Hill. She tells me that she has left her daughter. She went to see a lawyer and left her daughter, who has all this money, apparently, from the TV show, which I knew wasn't true because I actually dated someone who does reality TV shows. Those guys do not make a lot of money. They don't make money. But anyway, and that she was leaving in case something happened to her while she was having brain surgery in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. She was going to leave.
Amanda? We can name her Amanda.
Amanda in my custody.
Mm-hmm.
At that very moment, I was like, in my head, bitch is crazy. I was like, oh, no. And I know enough about legal documents. I know enough about lawyers. I know enough about life to know that none of that was true.
Really?
You can't give your child to someone without me being there at the lawyer's office signing something. It's not.
No, absolutely. That makes sense.
Right? I also knew. I was like, okay, this is, and then I'm like asking for information. Well, like, okay, what number do I call? Oh, we'll get in touch with you. It's like, okay. And at that point I didn't test her, you know, many people questioned me at this point in my life. Cause they were like, obviously she's lying. Why did you let her stay? All I kept thinking about was that 5 year old kid.
Yeah.
She needed me more at that moment than me needing to prove this woman crazy.
Yes.
It was also a holiday weekend. I believe it was July 4th. And my nephew was in town. So I hug her. She leaves. And my son slides down the hallway like, you know, Tom Cruise in mm-hmm. Risky Business. He was like 12 at the time. He's like, what did I just hear? Like, are you adopting her? He's like all hysterical. I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. What would Jesus do? Yeah. So for 5 days, the little girl stays with us. The next day I call and try to get information about the mom. she's not there. She's not registered at the hospital. I do some investigative, you know, research, and I'm like, okay, she's going to probably come back. let's just, you know, be kind and generous with this little girl. And she stayed with us for a few days. And I know it's funny because my nephew is in town. So, and it was a holiday weekend. So all these little pictures, you know, there's this little girl in our pictures. It's, she's obviously not, related to me.
Yeah.
In these holiday pictures. Rest of the year, I still hang out with her. Cause at this point I know she's mentally has some issues. And I don't know why, but I felt like I needed to not even protect her, but really other people within our cheerleading family.
Yes.
Like other mothers who had smaller children who were more caught up in the web. And then that was basically it till the end of the year. At the end of the year, unbeknownst to me, because I'm not the type of mom to go in and sit around at the gym when they're practicing, other people started becoming suspicious. Coaches started becoming suspicious of her tall tales. She had them. They were in constant tall tales. And so she did something that I think is very common with crazy moms is you start accusing other kids of stuff. So she started, from what I, and this is now hearsay because I'm not in the room. She started accusing other kids of racism.
Yes.
And
yes.
She, at the end, accused my daughter of.
I knew about another family, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
Hold on. After she was up in your house?
Yeah, towards the end of that year. She was at my house at the beginning of the year. It was summertime, and so it was the end of the season.
But what? Okay, I'm sorry.
No. But that's what crazy people do. I mean, you know. And I'm not the type of parent who is always going to defend my kid and be like, my kid's perfect and never does anything wrong. My kids, all three, are fallible and screw up every day. Mm-hmm. But this accusation I knew wasn't true because it was sophisticated, it was racist, and my child didn't have the sophistication to use. I honestly can say at that point in her life, my child, she was in a minis team. The N-word had not been
brought up, talked about in her.
It wasn't part of our, it wasn't part of our world yet. She hadn't read Mark Twain. She hadn't heard rap. It just at the time. Now it's a different thing. So it was one of the first times where I was like, no, this is it. I knew it wasn't true. So I didn't get upset. I didn't feel the need to go defend my daughter. And to the gym's credit, they never brought me in. They did their own research and they did their own thing and eventually asked her to leave. But here's where it was, you know, you gotta love them through it. So all that was happening, I didn't know that there was an investigation on her and people were calling hospitals and other gyms, because that's what the thing, she had said the story to multiple gyms and multiple gyms had done the research already to know that she didn't have brain cancer, stage 4 brain cancer, that her kid wasn't a heart transplant. You know, we actually had a parent at the time who had a kid who had a heart pacer. So like people started putting two and two together. So the day that she's released from the gym where she's told not to come back, I show up at the gym. One of the few times I walk into the day gym. And I still remember this. My kid goes in. I had to say something to Miss Judy in the front. Maybe pay a bill or something. I don't know. I see her walking down, Daisy, crazy mom. And I could tell, you know, something was up.
Down.
And I remember putting my hand on her. Are you okay? And she said, now, mind you, she had just left an office basically accusing my kid of using the N-word. And and other kids. It wasn't just mine. It was multiple people. It was sort of, it reminds you of the person drowning. You're just trying to bring someone else down with you.
Yeah.
And I don't believe I got upset. I don't believe I was like offended. It was just so obvious to me that it was crazy that I wasn't going to affect me.
Yeah.
I walk her out with her child there. Mind you, all the times that she said all these crazy things and these lies, she always did it in front of that kid, which has always made me very sad for that kid. Still to this day.
Yeah.
Makes me sad for that kid. But it also is a symptom of like this.
She's literally nutso.
And she's doing the best she can. Whatever happened in her life to make her the way she is, happened to her. Whatever tools she hasn't been offered, she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out to the car. She starts telling me her version of events. I don't think she mentions my kid, but she didn't want me to go back into the gym and like defend her or fight for her. Or I even think she wanted me to imply like I would leave. I was like, oh, no. Like, this is where we come to an end.
Yeah.
As a, you know, I hugged her. I remember, like, knowing that she was being crazy, knowing that she just accused my daughter, knowing that she had hurt a lot of people. I hugged her, and I wished her well. And still to this day, if I see her somewhere, I hug her. I hug the little girl. She'll probably still come up and hug me even after listening to this.
Do you see her?
Well, often? This season, not, but no. Last season,
really?
I would see her in Myrtle Beach pretty much.
I did see a little girl this weekend. And just because of the situation, I don't talk to her a lot. But she like just got off the floor and I hugged her. I asked her if she was okay. Asked her if she was good, and then I like it was in the warm up room, and I like went on and started warming up my team. But I remember a story about Miss Daisy, how the families on that mermaid team wanted to send her like a gift or like flowers or something when she was having her quote unquote surgery,
like the third or fourth one.
Like at Duke, if you're gonna—
no, this was Chapel Hill.
It was at Chapel Hill.
Well, she switched. She got caught in so many lies. That was the thing. It was just like, you know, I actually called my lawyer before when thinking about this podcast because I want to make sure I'm not liable for anything. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I said the story, they were like, well, just don't say the name to cover yourself. But yeah, if everything you're saying is provable, go at it, Hoss.
And they called like whatever hospital, and they were like, we'd like to send some flowers to this person. And they were like, we don't have any patient by like that name. And it was just super weird. I remember the situation, not the situation, but I remember like everything going down, and was wild to me.
Yeah. Well, and that was my first experience with a cheer mom.
Welcome to this wonderful world of cheer.
But you know, to me at the time, where I was in the time, I was trying to practice a certain thing in my personal spiritual life, which was like, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And I felt, I did it to the best of my ability that first year, which is I was as nice and as gracious as I could be. I loved her through it. I tried not to judge her. And it really was a teachable moment for me to be like, she's doing the best she can. She loves that kid. There's no question that she adores that kid. Is she doing right by the kid? That's not for me to judge. But I will say it's not... everyone has that capability. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the capability of being crazy. It's our own job to minimize that. You know, it's not uncommon for all of us to get triggered, you know. That's my thoughts. So ending the story, that's what I think about crazy cheer moms. I think we're all crazy. We all have the potential for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our job to not be. you know, and do the best for our kids.
Absolutely.
And I think any of us who judge any other parent for anything, you don't know. You have absolutely no, I cannot even begin to imagine this person's childhood to, or her life experiences that brought her to the point where she feels that she needs to tell people, you know, she has brain cancer.
Yeah.
All I can do is pray for her.
WWJD.
So.
You know who's not a crazy cheer mom?
Yes. Our next guest.
Yes.
The exciting interview with.
The capital T-H-E, Melissa Cummings.
And I am super excited.
That's my line. You can't take that from me.
I asked you if you wanted to do the intro.
That's
No, I am super excited to have Melissa Cummings on the podcast.
Yes. Hey.
Hey, Melissa. Hey, hi. I was like waiting for Marcus to be like, I'm fangirling and all that stuff.
No.
I know I'm not
there. No. We totally were, because that's what, that's my line. I always say,
I'm fangirling.
This is my, I am super excited to say that we have, and no, this is so cool. Thank you, Melissa, for coming on with us.
I feel like.
No, thank you for having me.
I feel like I should say that I feel like I sort of know you, even though we've never met, but we've had, you know, conversations. I wrote a blog about your daughter, Ryan Cummings, and I asked permission from you and your husband to publish it. And so I feel like we've had a kind of a communication off, you know, the podcast, obviously. And when I asked Marcus, I was like, do you think we can get Melissa on the podcast? Because I thought it would be such a fantastic perspective that many of us don't know.
Yes.
The parental perspective of a famous athlete. I think it's a very fair. In case anyone doesn't know, this is Melissa Cummings, Ryan Cummings. Like
the Melissa Cummings as in the Ryan Cummings.
He is mine.
You take full credit. Yeah. And so I thought it would be great because I don't know what it's like to have a famous cheerleader in my life. I now feel like I know what it feels like to be a famous cheerleader because we've had enough of them on the show. But I thought your perspective would be really interesting. And I also feel like from my point of view, I've been kind of watching the season, you know, and seeing Ryan's social media, all the ups and downs of it this year, just this season, just this season, gosh. Yeah. I just wondered about you because I have kept you and your family in my thoughts because I was like, I don't know how they can do this.
No, that's a lot.
It's a lot. So I was really excited. I really, really was excited to have you on the podcast to talk about all this stuff and get your perspective. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. It's awesome. I think it's, that was really a cool idea to actually, you know, to kind of get things from a different perspective. So I was excited when you reached out and asked me. So that was very cool.
Yeah. Well, let's start like we do at the beginning. Like, what's your story with cheerleading? Like, were you a cheerleader or is your role?
I was not a cheerleader. I actually always wanted to be a cheerleader, but I was a dancer growing up and I didn't, I felt like I was pretty good at it. I was a competitive dancer, but I wasn't, you know, the stereotypical dancer. I wasn't built like one. I wasn't tall with really long legs. I was a little more athletic. So, you know, had spent my entire teenage years dancing and competing and always wished, you know, cheerleading had always been attractive to me, but, you know, had already invested so much time into dancing, I kind of had to see it through. So when both my kids, I have an older daughter who was also a cheerleader.
Oh.
You know, when they were younger, my husband and I were like, well, you know, what do we want to do? We tried soccer, we tried softball, and I said, let's try this cheerleading thing. My husband was like, what the heck is cheerleading? Like, he thought I was nuts. And so we took them, and my older daughter, she thrived. The first time we took her, she loved it. And ironically, Ryan hated it.
Really? That's funny.
She was 4 years old, and she cried the entire time. And we said, listen, you just need to finish today, and, you know, if you don't want to come back, you don't have to come back, but we're going to finish the day. And she did. And here we are many years later.
Oh my, does your oldest still cheerlead?
Say that again.
Does your oldest still cheerlead?
She's actually, no, she's getting ready to turn 21 next week. So she she finished her final season was 2015 with Cheer Extreme. She was on Senior Elite 2015, and she decided to move on, and she's in college now. She's going to be a senior next year. So.
Oh, wow. You don't seem old enough to have a 21-year-old daughter, just to say. Just
thanks, Marisol.
As a side.
Hold on. A question from a dancer. We're both dancers. What kind of dance did you do?
I did kind of a little bit of everything. Tap, ballet, jazz, modern dancing. I loved modern dancing. I loved jazz. I hated tap. Hated it.
I always wished I could tap, but my feet don't have any rhythm. From my ankles up, I'm pretty good. It's just like the bottom. They don't work.
That's what
I can't flap and flap.
I took tap.
Yes.
It was a struggle.
Yes.
But you know what tap taught me? I only took it when I was really little. I predominantly was ballet. I was ballet, but I took tap when I was little. But what it did teach me was to appreciate tap.
Oh, yes.
Now, I just watched Chicago, you know, the musical.
Yeah. Do I know the musical?
But there is a Richard Gere does the tap scene. I just watched it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think he gets enough credit for how difficult that tapping is, but we digress.
And ballet, like I said, I'm not built like a ballerina. I enjoyed it, and I loved the technical aspect of it, but like I said, it wasn't my thing. So
I feel you. I loved ballet. I loved the discipline of it. I was in it, but my Spanish hips just ended my career. Okay, so you go into this world of cheerleading. I kind of feel like I want to skip ahead and focus on this season, if that's okay with you. Because I feel like, and I could be wrong, keep me honest, Marcus, but mm-hmm. I feel the social media and cheerleading were really kind of taking a turn the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Where I think everyone was kind of, you know, social media was social media, and we're all doing it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. But this year... Or I guess last year, was it last year when Ryan's video went viral? Or was it the year before that?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, okay. Like early last year.
So I kind of feel like Ryan has been anointed by, you know, social media God to be this like, you know, example of the highs and lows of social media. Mm-hmm. And I keep reminding myself, she's only 14. You know, like, how does she handle it? And she seems to be handling it beautifully. And I know that, I mean, I've also spoken to your husband or communicated with him, I think on the blog. And I know he keeps, her social, her Instagram. He gets, mm-hmm. he has the login stuff for it. I saw the video where she came back for her apology video from the incident this season. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious to me that she's being raised well, you know, that you and your husband are doing a fantastic job, but
thank you for saying that,
but I gotta ask, how do you do, like, honestly, what don't I know? Like, what is that like?
That's a very long question. I'm going to try not to ramble.
Take your time. Cause
social media, I'm actually very fascinated by it, not just in cheerleading, but just in general in life and, you know, how much it's become part of our culture and, you know, how people use it. And, you know, for Ryan, until the whole meme thing, you know, social media was kind of just there and we did our thing and, you know, she kind of went about our business and, you know, she posted videos and pictures and then the meme thing happened. And then, for me, that really kind of opened my eyes to the big picture and how people actually use it. And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, when the meme happened in the cheerleading world, the meme made sense, right? People mm-hmm. recognize that she has makeup on and she's wearing a bow and kind of, you know, what that is.
Yeah.
And then as the meme started to go outside of the cheerleading world and I started seeing comments and posts about it that were really, really awful and really negative and just very strong opinions and judgments and things like that, I was just shocked. Like, it was amazing to me that there are people out there who are so affected or impacted by something they see on social media that it drives them to comment and say whatever it is that they think or however they feel about whatever it is they see, and not even think about, you know, how that maybe impacts somebody else, if that makes sense.
No, and like I always think about it from the perspective of Kate, like Ryan reading it, but then I always kind of think about you too. Like, you know, when it's your kids, when anyone comes after your kids, you're that mama bear comes out, and you know, I don't care how spiritual you are, you want to knock someone.
I mean, that's me.
I mean, that's me. And
it was,
I heard that she got like grabbed at a recent competition. And
this year has been a wild year. Mm-hmm. I don't really, you know, you just kind of, we go about our lives. Like to us, Ryan's Ryan, you know, when people say she's famous or she's this, or, you know, she's Ryan, she's my kid. And when Ryan does things that Ryan's not supposed to do, mom takes care of it. You know what I mean?
So we
just feel like we're just like normal people, and she's like a normal kid. She's a teenager. This year has just been really wild because, you know, as the activity on social media increased, and, you know, then the fan pages start, and
that was, you know, crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's really cool. There's a lot of really great things about it. You know, it's the fact that Ryan can impact, you know, young people, and, you know, they want to be like her, or she can help them, you know, work through maybe some struggles that they're having. That's a really cool thing. I mean, that's very impactful. But the flip side is that, you know, I think sometimes people forget that she's a normal 14-year-old kid. And so, you know, people get upset about like the picture thing, you know, Ryan didn't take a picture with me. It's a challenge. I mean, you understand
it's
when you're
a balance.
In competition.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on, and she's on three teams, and schedules are really tight. So, you know, we try and fit things in when we can, but I also want to make sure, it's very, very important to me and my husband, that, you know, when Ryan's at competitions, and I kind of include Kinley because she's with us when we're at competitions, but, you know, we're at competitions, that we are allowing them to experience this sport and this activity that they participate in the same way as every other kid. And, you know, that's being able to hang out with their friends and just walk around freely, or take pictures with their friends and be goofy with their friends. And unfortunately, we can't always do that. And sometimes that makes me a little sad.
Yeah. I feel badly for, I mean, I let me get through this and make sure that I'm giving the full thought that I want to give, which is, I feel like you feel lucky and blessed for, you know, everything that gets attributed to Ryan. You know, she's
a thousand percent.
Yeah, beautiful girl, beautiful cheerleader, wonderful, you know, experience in cheerleading. But there's a shadow side to it, which is kind of dark, very dark. It's like, which is this extreme hate that can come towards her. Judgment, so much judgment that, you know, it kind of blows me away.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, you're trying to, like, it feels like you're walking on a tightrope. This is me. I'm totally projecting this onto you, Melissa, so you can swat it away. But I feel like you must be on a balancing act throughout this cheerleading experience, where you can't even just experience it as, you know, Melissa Cummings and Ryan Cummings Senior
Elite.
Right. It's a whole thing. It's like a whole machine.
And that's the perfect way to put it.
And I feel like it's happening real time, for me at least, observing it this season seems to have like really peaked. And, you know, I wanted to have you on the podcast because I was like, what, as a mom and as a father, how do you balance that? Like on a day that's awful, like a bad day, how do you guys go back and regroup? Like when the, you know, that video came up and I remember writing the blog about it. I couldn't, when Ryan came out and did that apology video, I teared up because I could feel her pain. You know, see it. It was, if you have any sense of empathy, you felt it. And I'm like, how is Melissa, who now is my BFF, how is Melissa dealing with this?
Well, you know, and the video, you know, we don't really talk about it a lot anymore. We're kind of moving past it, but I'm super thankful to have an opportunity to actually have a voice, and kind of address it a little bit. You know, that was probably, and I'll probably get a little upset, that was probably one of the hardest things that, we've had to go through as a family. You know, Ryan, I always feel like, you know, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, right? And mm-hmm. Ryan, I don't, she, to me, and I know she's mine, obviously I'm a little biased, but I just think that she is, she is an extraordinary child in that she has probably the thickest skin I've ever seen in my life. You know, she really has the ability to kind of, you know, take things in stride. And the video was devastating, not just for Ryan, but for my entire family. You know, I know there was a lot of negativity and comments about how long it took us to respond. And I say this very respectfully because, you know, as you pointed out, Marisol, we are very thankful for every opportunity that has been given to Ryan. And, you know, we've been very blessed and she's been very blessed and we're just very, very thankful for that. But the flip side to that is that, you know, we still are allowed to be a family and address things privately. And, you know, when I saw the video, and I haven't even watched the whole thing because it just gives me a pit in my stomach. You know, it was a very disappointing moment. And we kind of hunkered down as a family, my older daughter included, and we had many, many, many conversations about it. And, you know, just really, it was a teaching moment. Yeah. So, you know, it's our responsibility as parents to kind of remove it from the cheerleading world and to have those conversations privately as a family and figure out how we're going to move forward. And, you know, the apology video was something that we discussed as a family. I felt like I'm always an advocate of, you know, I feel like when people type things, you don't really get, you know, the inflection and, mm-hmm. and you just don't really understand exactly what they're saying. Things can be misconstrued when you type words, but when you say things, I think it's more impactful. And, you know, we decided that that was the best approach. And, you know, there was also some negativity about they felt it was scripted. And I just felt it was important as a 14-year-old girl who, you know, is probably not as articulate as she wants to be to put her thoughts down on paper first and then, you know, speak them. So that's kind of where that came from. But, you know, it was definitely a huge learning lesson for Ryan and both for my husband and myself.
Anyone who hasn't read the blog, it's on our website. I think I titled it Teachable Moment, but I thought it was handled beautifully as well as it could be handled. And I think actually you taking the time to not respond. And if I remember correctly, the timeline, she had to compete in the middle of all this too.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it happened is terrible. And, you know, like I said, it was just a really...
But I think pulling away and working on it as a family is a testament to if this happened in my life, that's how I would want to do it. My first thought's going to be my family, not my social media following.
Exactly.
And so I thought it was, you know, I thought the way it was completely handled was the way if it happened to me, it would be a best practice for me. I'd take it internal. Yeah. I'd make sure my kid learned the lesson. And the thing is, what happened to Ryan could happen to every single one of our children and will probably happen, but it won't happen so freaking publicly. Like,
any child out there and cheerleader, whoever is listening and can take something away from that, you know, it's that you just never know. You never know. You know, you think you're in a safe environment, you think you're doing things and being goofy and just hanging out with your friends and being silly. I don't know, whatever the case, but somebody's always got a phone out and you just never know. You know what I mean?
And the thing
that's the world that we live in.
Exactly. And like you said about like even people not appreciating the apology video or criticizing that, you know, what social media has kind of opened up one of the dark sides is everyone feels like they can have an opinion about your life.
Oh, yeah.
Or you, or how you raise your kid, or what you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the reality is, you know, she's 14 freaking years old. And I think, and especially the older cheerleaders or the Anons, to me, it reveals more about them than it does about you or your daughter or the situation. The ones that come after and criticize from the moment it happened to how it ended. I was like,
yeah, whoa. Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the things that when we see really negative or hateful things on social media, like I said, Ryan, I mean, just kudos to her because she just has this amazing ability to kind of let things roll off her back. Although I do, you know, I can tell sometimes when she gets really quiet and she doesn't say a lot, I know that she probably saw something that really hurt her feelings. But, you know, we try and have many conversations about what we see and just, you know, talking about that. There are going to be people out there who have an opinion about what you do, no matter what you do, good or bad, they're going to have an opinion and they're entitled to those opinions, and that's okay. We just have to learn how to, you know, look beyond those and realize that, you know, they don't know you every day. They don't know who you are. They don't know your heart. So it's okay if that's, you know, if that's how they want to, you know, I guess, behave or put their opinion out there, that's okay. You know, we just, you can only worry about yourself. And that's just, we talk about that over and over and over again with her. Cause I can't imagine, you know, I think about when we were 14 years old, right? How times are, first of all, if there were video cameras when I was a teenager, I would be worried.
If there were video cameras when I was 15, I don't know where I would be right now.
I would be
in some like Catholic nunnery.
it would have been wild.
Yeah.
But, you know, times are really different now. So I'm learning. We're just trying to help her to maneuver through it. And, you know, if anybody can take anything away and learn anything from it, then, you know, I feel like something good came out of it.
Yeah. I mean,
it is what it is. I actually, and my husband and I talk about this all the time when we see, you know, actually Saturday we were eating dinner and Ryan sent us a screenshot of a hate page that somebody made on Instagram. And it was just, you know, just really mean stuff. And, you know, she sent it to us, so we knew that it was out there, and it's hard to not react to it. But I said to my husband, I said, you know, it makes me really sad because I feel like when people create these pages and they hide behind anonymous accounts and say really mean things, I almost feel like that's a cry for help, attention.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. I feel like what pain, what happened to them? That's always right. Kind of where I go with anyone, crazy moms, crazy kids, crazy coaches, anyone. It's like, what happened in your life? What is missing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who didn't love you correctly enough or well
yeah.
enough that is causing you
it makes me sad. It really yeah. makes me sad. You know, I'm just thinking about this person who's sitting behind, you know, a computer or their cell phone, and, you know, they feel so strongly about something that they make these hate pages and they say these really awful things about people anonymously. And, you know, it's like, what, something's missing.
Yeah. I feel like I was thinking about, you know, that age, 13, 14, 15. And I feel like it's such a desperate age for girls to want to yeah. be seen. They just want to be seen. And I see, I've had two daughters now and I see it with both of them, in that age group. Everyone, I guess, wants to just be seen, but at that time, more so than anything. And I think that Ryan's, you know, popularity, slash fame, you can call it. You know, I think people, I've actually heard of people wanting to be like Brian, wanting to have the huge following, the social media, the success, people, fan pages and all that. I've even heard parents kind of, you know, talk about their kids in a way that, you know, they would want them to be like Ryan. And I'm like, that's such a weird concept to me because this kind of happened to her. I don't feel like
she did not seek this out.
I did not feel like Melissa Cummings was, you know, creating a fake Instagram account
no.
to build a brand. It feels like it happened
yeah.
to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, I see lots of younger girls and I see, you know, especially with their Instagram accounts and, you know, their ambassadors to all these different things, which I think is great. I mean, I think that you have to go out there and you have to strive to do something and, you know, you want to have achievements and we should be proud of our achievements. You know, with Ryan, I feel like everything that's happened has happened very organically. You know, we were just kind of going with the flow. So it just kind of happened. We weren't, you know, seeking fame. She wasn't seeking fame. You know, she's just kind of doing her thing. You know,
she was just cheerleading.
You know, the funny thing about the face, the meme is, you know, Ryan, people are kind of shocked when I tell them that Ryan's actually very introverted. She I call her an introverted extrovert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. People are surprised by that by me. They think I'm out whooping it up. I'm like, no, I'm in bed watching Games of Thrones.
Yeah. She kind of, it's really odd because I feel like when she gets on stage, that's her outlet. She, when she's on the floor at a competition, like she does her thing, it's her outlet and she loves it. And I think everything that she does, it just happens. She's not like, okay, let me see what face can I make today. And, you know, she's just, that's just who she is. But Ryan, away from a cheerleading competition, you know, just hanging out with her friends, she is very, very goofy. She gets that from her dad. she is very goofy and she likes to have a good time, but she's very introverted and she has a really hard time letting people get really close to her. Actually, like, you know, Darnell, that relationship is really unique. You know, she kind of just gravitated to him and him to her, and you know, they just have this really amazing bond. But it was always so interesting for my husband and I to watch this bond because that's not Ryan. She kind of keeps her circle really small, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I completely could relate to that. I have one question is, so like one thing I wish the kids knew, the cheerleaders knew out there, the younger ones at least, is that, you know, this fame, this social media fame, this follow, you know, huge number of followers, it's not real. Like it's really not, there's nothing really tangible. No one's out there making a, you know, X number of dollars per follower. That's what I keep trying to wish I could share that knowledge with people.
Same.
What do you wish to share? Like actually having, you know, experienced it organically, like, what do you wish, if you had like a whole bunch of, which you now do, cheerleaders listening to you, what do you wish they knew that they don't know because they're not, they haven't experienced it?
That social media, the number of followers you have, that does not define who you are. These are just people out there, I say, in the universe. And, you know, it's great to know that you have people who love you and want to see what you do and care about you, but that's not the be-all, end-all. I think that, you know, I see people getting upset because, oh, I'm not gaining more followers. And it's heartbreaking because it's just a thing. And eventually this social media thing is going to move on and there's going to be the next big thing. You know, I don't know. It's interesting, but I just to know that, you know, it's good to have people that, like I said, who want to see what you do and watch what you do. But, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't define you. It's, you know, you're going to have different phases of your life and there are going to be different things that happen in your life. And, you know, I think I said this to somebody about Ryan, beginning of the year. And he said, you know, to us, Ryan is a cheerleader right now, right? She's going to be a cheerleader until whenever she decides she doesn't want to do this anymore. She graduates from high school and goes to college, but this is just a moment in her life. This is just a chapter in her book. It doesn't define who she is.
Excellent.
And
yeah.
When we're done and cheerleading is over with, we're going to move on and we're going to, you know, be thankful for all of the memories and the opportunities, but we're going to move on to something else, you know? So
I think that's such a healthy, healthy attitude, such a healthy attitude to have.
Yeah.
Cause I,
social media is, it's wild.
It is. I mean, I make a joke about, you know, the moms who create fan pages for your kids, but you can tell, you can totally tell. It's like,
and it, you know, when I see those, it breaks my heart. Cause it's just, you open your child up to so much criticism. I mean, there are days where I wish we didn't have any social media and I didn't have to see any of the things that I see. But you know, the more that you expose them to that, you put them out there, you have to take the good with the bad. And some of them are so young, you know, they're so young and they don't understand. And even at 14 years old, it's such a developmental and impressionable age. You know, it's kind of like when I was saying, I couldn't imagine going through this when I was that age, you know, having people have an opinion about the way I look and how heavy I am or how tall I am or what color my hair is or how, you know, you're not pretty, you're ugly, or, you know, and I'm just like, you open yourself up, do you open these girls up to that? And not to mention that other people, you know, when I see these accounts that are not private, and, you know, that's one of the things my husband diligently goes through Ryan's followers and follow requests and messages. And I mean, we've seen some really, really crazy things.
That's so
scary.
I have such respect for that. Cause I don't even do that with I did at one time. I tried to keep up with all my kids' social media and it was ridiculously impossible to do. And then that's when the Finsta stuff, this was a few years ago, and I had three of them. The Finsta stuff came up and the, you know, like it is hard as a parent. I mean, I give all parents credit. It is hard to try to parent kids through the social media because we don't have there's no guidebook for us. We're
no.
This is all happening to all of us at the same time and we don't know what we're doing. But I applaud your husband for doing that, because that you know, when I read that or I saw that, I just had such a so much gratitude for him. Like he was protecting his daughter the best way he could.
Oh yeah, that's daddy's little girl. And you know, both my husband and I are former police officers, so we maybe look at things from a different perspective. So we're always a little, you know.
You might want to say that louder for anyone.
Yes.
That's actually how we met in the police academy.
Oh, that, hold on, that is the coolest thing. What?
That's awesome.
And then came Ryan, and then I decided I couldn't be a police officer anymore because I just wanted to be with her all the time.
You had to be a cheer mom.
It
was in your blood.
So, that would be, you know, for parents listening, especially parents of younger athletes or even older ones, I guess anybody, just, you know, be diligent about, you know, who's following your children. And I mean, if you think about it, it's really not that difficult to figure out who these girls are and where they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you're in competition, that's why, you know, like the mom grabbing Ryan thing, it's always a little bit scary. This happened to us at Cheer Sport in Atlanta, which, you know, Cheer Sport, there's thousands and thousands of people, and
huge.
We're walking up. Yeah, it's huge. And there's no control over who can come in and out. You know, anybody can be inside the Congress Center at any moment in time. And we're going up an escalator, and Ryan was standing next to us, and there was a group of people with us, and I kept hearing a man's voice, and he kept saying, "Ryan, baby, Ryan, baby."
Oh.
I was like, "Ryan, baby, what is that? So strange." And then this guy was like grabbing her backpack from behind me, and I was like, "What in the world?" You know, just it was just craziness. I didn't know, was he a parent of an athlete, who he was, you know, what he was doing. So
he was trying to get your daughter's attention by saying, "Ryan, baby."
Yeah, and I'm like, "Ryan, baby."
I might have like elbowed him in the face.
No,
that was actually what made my ears perk up more than anything, because I'm like, "Who's calling her Ryan, baby?" That was really odd. And my husband was a little ways back, so thankfully I was close enough to her to slide her onto the escalator and get far enough away that he couldn't reach her anymore. But you know, it was one of those moments where it was really eye opening for us, and you realize, you know, you don't know who's around, you don't know who's who. So, you know, like the picture thing, if people want to take pictures, you know, that's fine. Ask for pictures. If it's not the right time, we'll just say, "Sorry, you know, can we do it later?" But grabbing at these kids and, you know, trying to pull them towards you is just, that's a quick way to get a really good reaction from us.
No,
did it ever like cross your mind to like pull her from the sport because of like a safety thing? Like, did you ever think it started to get a little too scary?
There have been moments where, you know, we're like, "What are we doing?" You know, we, just like everybody else, pays an exorbitant amount of money for our child to participate in this sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
I use the Kardashians because I think that's the most, like, you know, everybody knows who the Kardashians are right now. They're kind of, you know, icons in this time, right? We are not the Kardashians. Ryan is not a Kardashian.
That's what people assume about, this is what they think about Ryan, is that she is the Kardashian of the cheerleading community, and that, you know, her best friend's Kenley Pope, and she's on Senior Elite, and she's on, you know, C4, and she just has everything. Like, she wakes up and little birds just come set her hair, and that she has this perfect, you know, life. And I was like, she's 14 years old, so by definition, her
she's
life
probably
is not
worried about her, like, biology test. Please leave her alone.
Oh, she better be worried about her biology test. But it's, you know, to get people to understand, like, she is not a paid celebrity, right? You know, when you have celebrities and athletes, professional athletes who are paid, you know, I saw a comment that someone paid a lot of money to see Ryan, and I'm like, "Well, that's really flattering that you wanted to come and see Ryan, but honey, I paid a lot of money too for Ryan to be there."
Yeah, and you're not getting
so,
any money.
You know, she's not a paid celebrity. She's participating in a sport just like everybody else that just like myself and many, many other parents, pay a significant amount of money for her to do. So I guess, Marcus, to answer your question, you know, there have been moments that my husband and I are like, is this something that we want to continue doing? But then you take a step back and I look at the passion and just love that Ryan truly has for this sport, like truly, and all of this other stuff. And it's just, to me, that's just noise at this point. It wouldn't be fair for us to not allow her to continue to do something that she loves and is so very passionate about because of other people. Does that make sense?
Is she still in middle school or high school?
She's in middle school, and we just she started doing online school at the beginning of January. We had kind of gone back and forth about the decision to do it initially. You know, of course, Ryan wanted to do it because what kid doesn't want to be homeschooled, right?
As my child is literally,
you know, like, Mom, please, please, please. And, you know, we had lots of discussions about it. But ultimately, the decision finally was made after the video came out. Ryan was being threatened at school. And we just were like, you know what? We just need to kind of, you know, it was a sign, I guess. Mm-hmm. We just need to take a step back and, you know, maybe this is the best thing to do to kind of finish out the year. Plus all the traveling that we do, it just, it's hard to manage absences and to be where we need to be. So,
absolutely.
Well, I think, you know, trying to fit an exceptional child, and I think many children are exceptional. So, you know, but an exceptional child into the American school system with the travel schedule that you have would be incredibly difficult. I can't, you know, we miss so much school time mm-hmm. with cheer. Like today, Marcus is, he has the cheerleading hangover and he wasn't performing.
I lost my voice like day one, like on the second round with my first team. So,
you went hard, Marcus.
Oh yeah. I had, 6 of them this weekend. So like, my voice, I'm surprised I have anything right now. Okay. And like early we were like kind of talking about like growing up and like getting older and like moving on. And I know she's like still really young, but she does have like an older sister in college. Has she talked about or like thought about like any schools she wants to go to or has any interest in?
Yeah, she, this is one thing we do talk a lot about. You know, education to me is very important in college.
Absolutely.
Super important. So, you know, Ryan is, she's got some schools in mind. She loves NC State.
Go Pack.
She loves University of Louisville.
I was just about to say she would be the most gorgeous like there. Oh my God. Absolutely.
Yeah. So those are on her list. And, Ryan loves animals. We have 4. And my husband will tell you we live in a zoo. She loves animals. So she's always been going back and forth about wanting to be a vet. But she's like, Mom, I don't know if I could be a vet because I couldn't handle an animal dying. And I was like, well, that's fair. And ironically, Ryan's going through some physical therapy right now. She had an injury. Mm. And last week we left physical therapy and she said, do they have physical therapists for animals? And I said, yeah. And she said, that's what I want to do.
Oh, I didn't even know they had that for animals. Oh,
well, it makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, heck yes. I'm for it.
All right. I have one more question for you, Melissa, and then I'm going to throw you over to Marcus for rapid fire.
Okay.
So this is
you're familiar.
This is about you. So not so much about Ryan, because I have to imagine it's weird. Like, I'm always referred to as like so-and-so's mother, so-and-so's mm-hmm. mother, or so-and-so's wife or ex-wife and so on. So it must be weird to be referred to as like Ryan, you know, Ryan's mom. I'm Ryan's mom. But the question I had for you was for Melissa Cummings, is it hard for you to relate to like cheer moms and is it weird for you for your daughter to have this fame? Like, does it affect you and your friendships and your dynamics? Because I just wonder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, that's a loaded question.
Oh, sorry.
That might be another podcast.
My season 10 when Ryan's retiring. Okay, I was just wondering because I, you know, I'll give you an example like with the podcast. When I started the podcast, you know, I didn't want it to affect my daughter. Like, she's not on the pod. You know, when she's old enough, she can have the company. It's for you. But yeah. I didn't, she's not a brand. This isn't about her. But when I started it, I felt like people maybe around me in the cheerleading community, would have reservations about just being themselves, thinking that I was going to take what happened and share it on the podcast, which is not true. So I was just wondering if that kind of happens with you, because, you know, being a cheer mom, regardless if you have a famous daughter or not, has its challenges, period, end of sentence for everyone. Cause it's an intense role to be a cheer mom. And then yeah. I was like, well, if you add the fame to it and this whole thing, what would that be like?
Oh gosh. You know, quite honestly, so we say cheer mom. Rob and I are kind of like a package. It's actually funny. We travel together. Rob's my husband. That's Ryan's dad. So we're kind of like the cheer parents. but, you know, I really try and keep a really low profile. Believe it or not, I rarely go into the gym and watch practices. You know, this is about Ryan. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of just don't get involved in a whole lot. But, you know, I'm very thankful at our gym, Cheer Extreme. You know, we have a really, really great group of parents, super supportive. It's never been a moment of, you know, I say the word jealousy, and I don't know if that's the right word, or envy or mm-hmm. negativity. I think, you know, everybody's just, we just kind of all go with the flow, or, you know, the girls are a team, the parents are a team, just like the girls are. So there's none of that, you know, cattiness it's just, you know, it's been really easy. It's been go with the flow, but I mean, maybe a lot of that is because I just don't, like I said, we go, we support Ryan, but I'm not overly involved in the cheer world. Yeah. It's kind of hard to believe.
No, I hear you. I mean, this is my involvement. I do it from my home or my car. I don't go in and watch my kid. Like I rarely do. I'm the same. When I'm at competitions, you know, I'll kind of go off to my on my own sometimes, take out my laptop and start writing.
We've got just a really great group of parents, and you know, everybody's been super supportive. And you know, it's not like when Ryan walks in the gym, it's like, oh my gosh, right? You know, Ryan's like a normal kid like any of the other athletes, and they're such a great group of girls, and they just all love each other so much, and you know, it's have a really, really cool dynamic. So I haven't experienced anything, you know.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. That was kind of putting you on the hot seat, too. But I was going to say, you could tell because they're having an amazing year.
Absolutely.
You can tell they're bonded. Like, you can...
It's just a great team. They're just a great group, and they have so much fun. And, you know, they had a really long weekend with boot camps this weekend. And, you know, they're just...
I lied. I have one more question.
They're focused on winning, but they're just having a good time. And that's what's, you know, to me, that's important. Have a good time.
Most important. Absolutely.
I have one more. Are the parties, the Courtney Pope parties, as awesome as they seem on social media? Because I want to go to one.
Let me tell you what. If you need a party plan, Courtney Pope is your woman.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's Pinterest, but she's just every detail. She's just down to the detail. I don't know. And the girls love it, and we have a good time, and there's always a theme, and I think it's important to celebrate them and their accomplishments, and they feel important, and they feel like they did something. And
absolutely.
One of the things that I love about Courtney, she's a really great person.
I want to go to one of those parties. Like, I seriously want to go. I want to do a live podcast from a Courtney Pope.
We probably could get an invite.
like a pre-showcase like party, because like, I don't know, Showcase is always around like Darnell's birthday, and I tried to go see him like for his birthday as much as possible, and then I just so happened to end up at Cheer Extreme Showcase.
All right, so you ready for some rapid fire?
Are you ready for some rapid fire?
I'm more nervous about rapid fire than anything else.
Well, you know the deal, so okay. It's not too scary, it's not too rapid. I just really want to hear, excuse me, the first thing or the most favorite thing that pops in your head. So we'll start with some easy stuff like, what TV show are you watching?
Game of Thrones.
Woohoo!
favorite food?
Well, pizza is my favorite food, but I'm not allowed to eat that right now.
Oh, of course you are. What do you mean?
I'm on a diet.
No, we're all on a diet. I still eat pizza. Do you have a favorite moment in like Ryan's career?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Oof, a favorite moment in Ryan's career. Wow. There's so many. I don't even know. She's had such an amazing cheer career. I couldn't even narrow it down to one. I don't know what to say.
No, we can get a couple.
Oh God. Well, our first year at Cheer Extreme, that was a really great year for Ryan, and she had such a great time. So her first year on Youth Elite, it was really cool to watch.
Youth Elite has always been one of my favorite teams.
You know what a really great moment was, and people probably think it's weird. Last year when C4 won Summit, even though Ryan wasn't on the floor, you know, I have so much respect for her, you know, to be able to stand back and watch that team win for the first time and not be able to be on the floor with them. And watching her stand in the front of the floor like a coach, jumping up and down and cheering them on.
Aww.
She wasn't on the floor, so it's kind of weird to say that, but it was just like my heart was just so happy just looking at her cheer these kids on, knowing that, you know, she couldn't be with them, but she had so much support for them. So that was a huge moment.
And last one, since that was a really good one, I'm not going to terrorize you anymore. What are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? I'm grateful for my two children. I'm grateful for my older daughter getting ready to hopefully graduate from college soon. Sorry, Vanessa. I'm just really grateful for my family and you know, my husband. I'm super thankful for him. He's my rock. He's my best friend, and I'm just super, super thankful for my family.
I think I need to meet a man that does like cheer. that sounds amazing.
He's a good one.
Melissa, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. I think this is going to be really good for our listeners to listen to, because I don't think that, you know, I think it's so easy for us to just assume that what we see on social media is what it is. And sometimes we don't take the time to think about other people's perspectives or how things really affect them. So I appreciate you for coming on and, you know, sharing your story with us.
This is awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having me and giving me an opportunity to share my story and for me to have a voice. I love what you do, and I hope you guys keep doing it and get bigger and bigger. I see you're on Spotify now, so
yay.
You just can continue to grow. And you know, it's really cool to see you bringing some really positive things to the industry. So thank you guys so much. And just one more thing. Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I want to address the picture thing. There's so many people who now are like, I'm afraid to ask for a picture. If you are a fan, not just of Ryan, but any cheerleader, ask for a picture. Just make sure you're asking at the right time. And if they can't do it, it's okay. You're going to get your picture. But these girls, I know they look up to, and boys, look up to all these athletes. And it's okay to do that. Ask for the picture. It's really fine.
You know, I had an idea about that, and this might be the corniest idea ever, but I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, because I was wondering, you know, how do you not annoy someone? Like, you know, people have a job to do. I don't want them to be annoyed. And I was thinking on the lanyards, if they had like, you know, green or red, like if it's green, hey, this is an optimal time for us to take pictures.
I'll take a picture.
If it's on the red, back off. But I was like, I don't know, that might be too cheesy.
The two very important times we don't take pictures is when an athlete is eating and when they're in warm-ups with their team.
Okay. Yeah. So take notes, guys.
Best practice right there for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And good luck.
Thank you.
And good luck for the rest of the season. Worlds is in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I know. We leave in a week and a half. We're super excited. So,
wishing you all the best of luck.
Is she going to Summit?
Yeah, we'll be there. This is our family vacation. So, yeah, she'll be at Summit. She's competing with C4 at Summit.
Okay. So, y'all are leaving like next week to go to Worlds.
Yes.
And then are y'all like staying that like whole week?
Yeah, we stay just because it's hard to take normal family vacations. So we use the time between Worlds and Summit to do the family stuff. And so we'll be down there. We leave next Thursday, and then we don't come back until the Monday after Summit.
I can't wait to meet you guys.
No, right?
This I is know. Gonna... I hope we do. So will you both be down there for Worlds and Summit or one or the other?
I know, I'm going to D2, so I'm like just missing you guys.
Oh, Marisol, will you be down there for Summit?
No, not this year. Not this year. No. We're trying to work something out where we can be. We have a huge amount of athletes and coaches and gym owners who are wanting to do a live podcast with us. But uh-huh. the problem is getting permission on Disney resorts to do it without paying $30,000, which we're not. So, no. So one day someone will sponsor us. I have faith.
Well, hopefully I get to meet you both at some point.
Absolutely.
That'd be really awesome.
I feel like I could instantly be friends with her.
I want to be your best friend. she's friends with like my best friend. So I feel like it kind of works out.
Really? Well, I thought she was the perfect counterbalance to that story.
Yes.
Too. Like,
yes.
There's crazy, who is literally
the ultimate.
Yeah.
The ultimate. And then this ex-police officer, don't get it twisted.
The one thing I wanted to circle back on that crazy cheer mom story that I don't think we mentioned is also something that I want to say is cheer gyms talk to each other. Like,
no, yeah.
That the
Do you know, we're all literally connected. We all have a Facebook page. So we are connected.
Like,
but like we're friends with each other. That's like people I used to cheer with have their own gyms and are coaching teams. Like the head coaches at my gym, the owner of my gym, who's been in this industry for like 20 plus years, are friends with all of these people all over. We talk to each other. You crazy.
Yeah. And so that's the other thing is the back channel in the industry is there. So, you know, if your gym, I'll say, like we mentioned how people will write into us after we have a guest on a show. And I don't even acknowledge all of them anymore so much. The parental ones, like, oh, there's an example of this crazy mom here. And, oh, look, this person did this. That's not my role in life mm-hmm. to assess your gym's, you know, internal crazy dynamics. But that's kind of where I land on it is there are crazy people in this world. And you got to love them through it. You know, so there's no point in letting them dictate, you know, the reputation of our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like people like Melissa, I feel like people that we've had on this podcast, you know, they personify great examples.
Yes.
Of how to be a great cheer mom.
Absolutely.
So I think we should focus on that and less on the crazy.
Yes.
Maybe we can shift the industry, Marcus.
I feel it.
Anyway, we got World.
I'm so excited.
We've got Victor Rosario
and
Kristen Rosario coming up for our final two
interviews. And I feel like that is like a perfect.
That's how we dreamt it
way
to end.
To end the season.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I can't even because I'm so excited.
We invite everyone to go back and listen to season two before the end of the season. We're going to do our recap, which we did last year, mm-hmm. and go over, you know, what we thought of each podcast mm-hmm. and our guests and how we did.
I want to do a Marcus and Marisol's rapid fire.
We did that last season.
Where we just like go back and forth.
That'd be funny.
See if stuff's changed.
Everyone, be safe. I know everyone's working so hard.
Yes. You just have just a couple more weeks. Some just like.
I'm excited for Worlds, though. I'm excited to hunker down. I'm excited to see a lot of different routines.
Yes.
Wondering if anyone's popping out with some new uni.
I was about to say. This is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be fun. So good luck to everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Melissa, for coming in. Angel Rice last week.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I received a lot of feedback on that. Thank you, everyone, for making Cheer Bomb, you know, a success.
Cheer Bomb.
Bye.
Have fun.
Oh, hey, before you go, This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to be part of the Cheerbomb family and show your support, jump to our website at www.cheerbomb.com and check out our Cheerbomb merchandise for sale, or find out how you can support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheerbomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast with your friends. Have a great week.
Cheerbomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.